To put this year's event in historical perspective, we've called Paul Bowler Jr. He's Professor Emeritus of American History at Texas Christian University and the author of Presidential Inaugurations. Welcome, Mr. Bowler.
Oh, good to be here.
Now, the inaugurals of the first presidents, Washington, Jefferson, I understand these were very modest affairs.
Compared to what they are today, they were very modest. George Washington, the first one, everything he did was kind of a precedent. None of this is in the Constitution, it's important to realize. All the Constitution does is give the oath that the president takes, 35 words, that's all. And so he decided to put his hand on the Bible when he took his oath.
Washington did that.
Yeah, and then he added the words, "So help me God," at the end of the oath, and then gave the inaugural address, and that was it. Jefferson believed very much in what he called Republican simplicity. He didn't want the inauguration to turn into a coronation. He even walked to his first inauguration. He lived in a boarding house near the Capitol, and then after it, he rode home, went back to his boarding house for lunch on horseback.
Some people may have heard the story of inaugural revelers who trashed the White House after Andrew Jackson was inaugurated. Are there other stories of such mishaps?
It happened. You have several other examples of Americans visiting the White House, getting out of hand when food was served. It's really true. At Lincoln's second inaugural, he had a reception afterward, and some of the people saw one room in which there had been some food that had been served some other people, so they rushed in and started fighting over the food. And then they began taking souvenirs, taking dishes and candlesticks and cutting pieces out of the lace curtains and so on, and they left that room, you know, like it had been visited by an army or something.
Now, this year's inauguration is clearly much influenced by the fact that the U.S. is engaged in conflict. The theme is celebrating freedom, honoring service. There's going to be a commander-in-chief ball with 2,000 soldiers invited. But I gather the swearing-in during World War II was quite different. Can you tell me about Franklin Roosevelt's inauguration in 1945?
Yeah, that's right. In January 1945, he took his fourth oath, and of course, Roosevelt's health was not so good, and that might have played some part in it. But basically, the idea was you shouldn't have a lot of gaiety in Washington when boys were dying abroad. So Roosevelt cut that down very much. They omitted the ball. They omitted the parade. He made a very short speech, and then there was a reception at which 2,000 people were invited. And the food was pretty skimpy, too. Roosevelt suggested chicken a la king, but Henrietta Nesbitt, the woman in charge of those things in the White House, she saw to it that they had cold chicken salad, rolls without butter, and unfrosted pound cake, plus coffee. That was it.
So that was also because you're not supposed to eat well when there's a war going on?
Apparently that was her idea. And in any case, it's the only wartime inauguration I know that pared it down that much.
Well, Paul Bowler, Jr., author of Presidential Inaugurations, thanks so much.
Well, it's a pleasure.